I still have to call my dad. For you.
Today is Father's Day. Praise the Lord. And even though here at Midtown, we are really all about him. People know that. We're all about him, and we're all about people. So, because it's Father's Day, we're going to talk about God. We've done this before in the past.
Not that we ever talk about anyone else.
Not that we haven't talked about anybody else, but, you know, sometimes it's about us, and sometimes it's about them, but most of the time it's really about him. Amen? So we've done this before, but we just want to reiterate who our daddy is. You know? Who's your father? Did you know, Jesus, when he prayed in Matthew 7:7, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. He said, pray in this way, our Father, not just his Father, but our Father who is in heaven. So that's the first name of God, is Elo Elon, God Most
High.
Elion. Yeah. My mentor, Pastor Doug, used to always give me trouble for mashing up Bible names. But you guys can set me straight.
So heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. That's in Isaiah 60 verse 1. And the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it.
The heavens are God's throne. God the Father's throne. Does anybody have any idea how big the heavens are? They haven't made a telescope big enough to find the end of it. Some of the images that they have coming back to the Hubble telescope take years to come back at the speed of light.
It's amazing.
I used to say a long time ago, and I still do it, that if you're having problems praying to God because you don't believe that he's big enough, you should go out to a field and look at the sky. And then begin to pray. Because if you do that, you'll see just how big, much bigger God is than all of us and all of this. Because the sky is huge. I used to like to walk out to the country and just bring my Bible and look at the sky and sit on a hill and just read and pray. Because our God is huge. And if you go out at night and you can see the stars, the size of our God's throne is so immensely big. That, you know what that means? That means that the size of our God is so immensely big. That's just his throne. And the earth is but a footstool in comparison with the bigness of our God.
El Shaddai, Almighty God, he established the earth upon its foundations. Psalm 104. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
The Lord God. He is the guy, he is the beginning and the end of the universe. I'm watching this thing on TV Ontario with Stephen Hawking and a whole bunch of other guys, and they're all trying to calculate the beginning of the beginning. And they're trying to calculate the end. And they're all these physicists are very frustrated because they can't find it. I believe that it's not an it's a who.
right.
And it's right underneath their nose.
It's our daddy.
You know, it's our daddy. Because C.S. Lewis said that scientists are so concerned with what happened that they're forgetting about how it happened. Some of them are searching for the how right now. And I'll tell you how it happened. The Bible says that God spoke. And I was watching this PhD guy from the University of Waterloo, and he's like, he's talking about the bang. He's like, he's obsessed with how the bang happened. How can all this come from nothing? Says it right on TV. We're calculating it, but we can't find it, and he's frustrated. If only, yeah. And I just think to myself, oh, a long time ago, I used to, people who didn't believe in God, I'd either bring them to church, or if they were really stubborn, I'd bring them to the airport church, and afterwards they'd believe in God, because God would, like, touch them. And once they would get a touch from God, and they'd realize that Jesus is who he says he is, he would be the answer to every question. I'd just say, stop asking me questions, and I'll just show you what I found. Sometimes I can do that through prayer, too. I used to pray. I had a really good friend of mine, Travis Party, the first time, long time ago, we prayed for the Lord to wake him up spiritually, and he got slain in the spirit, fell right on his back, and just started laughing and praising God. And he asked God to open him. And really, El Shaddai, Almighty God, he is the how. He's the beginning. He also is the end, because he sees our beginning to our end and loves us, even though we're infinitely small in comparison with the scope of the whole universe. And it makes me wonder sometimes. I'm like, God, you are the beginning and the end. You form the earth. God spoke and bang, it was all here. The power of our God is infinitely great. Not only has he established everything, but I honestly believe that everything is held together because of him. This is our Father who is in heaven, enthroned above the heavens.
Yes. It's
God. Jesus Christ. The Alpha and the Omega.
I just feel like we need to pray right now, because we're going to go through the 12 names and we have two done. But it is just so rich, you know, like I really want our minds to be transformed and our heart to get this. And I want us to walk out of here knowing our Father
that in much more.
In a deeper way. And like this morning when I was just praying before I got here, I was like, God, like, to know you is to love you. And the loving God with all our hearts, mind, and soul is the first commandment, you know. And knowing him is very important. We have to know in order to love. The more we know him, the more we're like, wow, you're awesome, you're beautiful, I love you. So that's why we want.
We knew that people here at Midtown would really love this sermon, because they come here to experience God, not because we have a good worship band or because we have organized team or any of that stuff, because we don't always have it all together. But what we do have is the presence of God and a heart to do the right thing. So without further ado, we're going to keep going. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, today, even as, and I forgot to pray at the beginning, so maybe that's just Holy Spirit speaking to me through my wonderful wife. We pray, God, that you would take us deeper.
Yes, God.
That you would take us further, Lord. That you would expand our mind, that we wouldn't be a frustrated scientist. That we wouldn't be frustrated scientists, God, but we would behold the bridegroom, that we would see our Father, for who he is. That we would know. There's a reason why. That you give us revelation, because our mind cannot comprehend. The Bible says angels look into it and say it's a mystery. The height and the width and the depth of even the love of our God, let alone our God alone, who is love. And I thank you, Lord, for that alarm.
All right, Jehovah Sabaoth.
Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Shabbat.
Well, you know, the Lord of hosts.
Shabbat.
Nehemiah 9:6 says, "You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you." And Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will." So who are his hosts, Jay?
Who are his hosts? Yeah.
Angels.
The Bible says the angels are the host of the Lord. And angels are powerful. I've seen angels. The first time I seen angels, like really seen angels, was I was on the GO train praying, and I seen about three or four really big angels standing over the city of Toronto, and they had big white robes, and they were their heads were like bowed like this, and they were standing among the skyscrapers. They were huge. Huge, huge, huge. That's the first time I seen. I seen one at my work, in the back of my work too. A huge, huge angel. And they're powerful. Going back to the whole science thing, they've already said that if your matter or your cells would move fast enough, you could walk through walls. And you could transcend and fly and stuff like that. Which is interesting, because the Bible says that man is in a fallen state. And you'd be in a different dimension, right? So, science aside, these angels are huge, huge, huge. And they're powerful. In Hezekiah, in the book of Kings, it says that it slayed something like, what was it?
125,000
people were dead in one night because one angel came. One angel. Not hundreds of angels.
And there is lots of them, and they all bow down before God and serve him. He's the Lord.
They all bow down before God and serve him. Most of them, anyways. And so, God is the Lord God of hosts. King David said that there was angels that helped him. In 1967, the Egyptian army said that they saw angels beside the Israeli tanks. And they were so scared that they didn't even want to fire upon them. They just ran the other way. So, and God is in command of all his angels, and he sends angels to help you and me. He sent an angel to Apostle Paul. He sent an angel to get Peter out of prison. He sent an angel to comfort Mary Magdalene. I like that. Really cool, because two angels, he sent them to comfort somebody because they were missing his presence. Do you know that the Lord sends angels to us to comfort us because we're missing the presence of God within our lives because of maybe something the devil did? He usually sends them as messengers that the Lord is actually coming. And when he comes, he's going to redeem the bad thing that happened. And of course, we all know that Mary Magdalene soon after was the first witness to the resurrected Christ. And it's interesting because God used a woman to evangelize the disciples. Yeah.
El Roy, God who sees. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who hope for his loving kindness. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. God sees. God sees. You know, if you're going through something tough and you feel alone, just know that God sees. You know, sometimes we say, like, no one cares, no one sees. We just feel like, yeah, we just feel lonely. God sees every single thing. We're never, never hidden from him. He sees. His eyes are on us.
Oh, there's a place in the Bible where it says that the Lord's eyes go to and fro, and he looks for someone to lift up who would hope in him. And I found in my own life, have you ever just had a really, really bad day? Just like, God, oh, what's going on? And the Lord, for me, I open up a psalm. And the Lord will pick the psalm. He'll say, read 27, read 37, read different psalms. And I'll read the psalm, and it will be exactly how I feel in that moment. The God who sits above the heavens in a space that's uncalculable to man can also look down and see my feelings and my thoughts and care.
It's amazing.
He looks at me from the beginning to the end and takes time to plead with me. I always think that's amazing. The Bible says the devil tempts, but God pleads. So that he might redeem and change my end. Our Father.
And he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. That's one of the names we hear a lot. He provides the manna, the water, and the meat to the Israelites in the desert. Like, that's such an amazing story. I like to try to imagine myself as part of the Israelites back then, and the water just comes out of nowhere, and then the little manna cakes in the morning, and then the meat. I mean, he provides. There's always a way for God. If we ever think, oh, I'm going to run out, I'm not going to be able to pay this bill, the creditors will run after me, God can't provide because I'm not making enough money, well, the Israelites didn't do anything to get that provided for them. God just provided everything they needed because he's a perfect father. And what father would not provide for their children?
And God also says that he provides for the just and the unjust. Like, how somebody once told me that people who aren't saved can't be truly in love. And I said, well, love is a gift from God. And I was actually, a couple friends of mine were getting married and they wanted me to speak at their wedding. So I spoke on how love was a gift and how God provides, says he makes the sun shine on the, and he provides for even the unjust. God provides the wind, the trees, the rain, seasons for growing, which are seasons of hard times and seasons in school and whatnot. And training, he also provides seasons of summer and seasons of harvest when we reap and we get the new job and we get, you know, the new spouse or whatever it is that God's been doing. God provides all of these things for us.
I'm just reminded of a testimony as well. When I first got saved, there was a period of time where God was telling me to set myself apart from my non-Christian friends. And I was praying with my mentor for some Christian friends. And while we were praying, I get a phone call from someone from my church that just Just like that, I had on their heart to give me a call to see if I could go for coffee. So I was like, wow, God even provides a friend when you need one, you know? And even before I was even done praying about it. He's amazing. He provides everything we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need.
Which is good, because, you know, some when I was about 9 or 10, I would have wanted a mountain of chocolate bars. Yeah.
Probably still today.
Wow.
But what we want is not always good for us. Jehovah Nissi, He has taken me to the banquet hall, and His banner over me is love. We sang that song today. How appropriate.
Well, I found in salvation, a lot of people at my work, they were going to rock concerts. And they were like, oh, come to the rock concert. And I'd like, no, I'm going to the concert for free. And they'd say, what do you mean? I'd say, well, I'm going to the airport church, and there's this guy there, David Roos. I have about 3 of his CDs, and he's there, and it's going to be free. You know, there's a guy named Don Potter. I have about 5 of his CDs. He's there. It's going to be free. And God's going to be providing the drinks, I used to say. And He did provide the drinks, too. Because we would get blasted. You know, and we would be eating of the food of God and sitting at His banqueting table. And His banner over us was certainly love, and love, and love, and more, and more, and more love. And it's not quite what the world has, but I believe that it's much better. Because I found when I'm at the banqueting table of the Lord, instead of feeling broke and burned out and angry the next day, I feel filled up.
Like a million bucks.
And like a million bucks. Okay, $1 billion. Even today, we got into the presence of the Lord and we got into His banqueting table. And Isaiah says we get to eat even though we have no money. That means that we have no righteousness of our own, but God's presence is still there to lift us up and fill us up. Because He's already paid for us to come into His presence and be filled with life.
Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Oh, don't you love Psalm 23? That's just 2 verses, I think. I feel like reading the whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Most people probably know it by heart, but I knew it in French first, so it's not going to be any good for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now, Jesus, we'll just soak that in. He is the good shepherd.
Yes.
He does lead us through the valley of the shadow of death.
But His rod and His staff comfort us.
You know what that means? That means when I want to eat a big pile of chocolate bars, the Lord, through my wife, no, no, no. And then she gives me a hug and I get a comfort.
What an example.
The point being is that his rod and his staff comfort us. A guy once told me when I first got saved, he said, Jay, I find comfort in the rod. And I said, what does that mean? He says, you'll find out. Because at the time, I was talking about something that I shouldn't have been talking about. For a while there, I used to want to open up a business. For about 4 years, I really, really wanted to open up a bar. You know, I did. That was my dream. I wanted to open up a bar, make all kinds of money. I wanted to do nightclubs. But the Lord came with his rod and his staff, and he said, no, 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 Jason. That's not a good idea. I have a better plan for your life, one that glorifies me. You know? And so he guided me to greener pastures and stiller waters.
Yeah, he's a good leader. He leads us where we need to go. You know, have you ever been in that place where you're like, who can I trust? Who can I follow? And is this God really trustworthy to follow? Is he going to lead me in a place where it's safe? You know, sometimes we feel like God tells us to do crazy things. Well, just remember in those times that God is a good shepherd and he's not going to lead you in a dark place. He's not going to lead you where you're going to get hurt, you know. He leads us to green pastures by quiet waters. He's a good shepherd.
He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he leads us to the place where he wants to lead us is his house. Brian Dorkerson always talks about, he used to have this album called The Father's House. It was an amazing album. Really blessed me. And do you know where the Father's house is? It's in heaven. The place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. Wait. And the way that he leads us there is that he, the God who's big, bigger than the sky, bigger than the universe, humbles himself and pleads with us. He lays down his life, all of his honor and all of his glory for us, that he might say, hey, Jay, don't do that. Come with me. Hey, Veronique, don't do that. Come with me.
Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. In Chronicles, it says he will heal our land. In Isaiah, it says he will heal us and comfort us. And in Hosea, it says, for he has torn us and he will heal us. He has wounded us and he will bandage us. And Jesus was healing people in their bodies as well. He's just a healer altogether. He restores things back to where they should be. And the first time I experienced God as Jehovah Rapha, he told me to read the whole book of Jeremiah, and that was the first book in the Bible I was reading entirely. I was newly saved, and I had just broken up with my boyfriend who I'd given my heart to, and in consequence of that, it was all broken and in pieces. And, you know, I was in a really, really, really broken place, and God really met me as Jehovah Rapha. And as I read the book of Jeremiah, he just showed me how no matter how much the Israelites had sinned, and it was their fault they were hurt, God, still in his mercy, wanted to heal them. And he was just so full of love, and he kept he kept saying, yeah, I will heal you, I will heal you. And he has. It was just an amazing year where God was just pouring out his healing oil on my heart and put it back together. So he not only heals our bodies, he heals our hearts, he heals relationships, he heals our land, he restores things.
Yeah, he's the God of restoration. And, you know, he hasn't stopped restoring things. He's still doing it. Every day we walk forward with him, he comes and he heals things and he restores things. There's an old song I used to sing in the Baptist church. It says that his mercy is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. We're just going to take a moment. I'm going to close your eyes and I want you to ask God for a place where he either has restored you or he wants to restore you. And it could be in finances. It could be in a relationship. It could be in your love life. It could be. Hi. Whoa, Holy Spirit, okay. You want to touch somebody's love life. You want to heal somebody's heart. Somebody's heart's been broken. Okay, God, go for it. It could be maybe in a husband or a wife situation. Maybe somebody is having problems phoning their dad today. We're going to phone the ultimate dad today. And we're just going to praise you, Lord, for the place where you put restoration, where you want to put restoration inside of our lives.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And one passage that we know really well, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jehovah Shalom.
I found in my life, I've been in a couple hard situations. Just recently when I was looking for a job, now I have a full-time job and it's really good. And benefits in the whole nine. And the whole thing, but I remember before I got that job, the only thing that would keep me sane was I would say, God's got a plan and a purpose. For months, I would say, God's got a plan, God's got a purpose. And I know the Lord hasn't left me. And I would say to God, I'd say, God, give me more of your peace. Give me more of your peace, God. And I found that when I had the peace of the Lord, I was able to be still and know that he was God and allow him to work that wonderful work of redemption that he said he would, that's impossible with men, but possible with Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray you help me. Just turn off that stupid alarm in Jesus' name, amen. Maybe it's prophetic for fire. But we did say that Midtown would be the hot spot in the summertime, and it is hot. But I really believe that God has been increasing his presence and pouring out more and more. And that's a good thing. Praise God, do more.
If anyone in here wants to know Jehovah Shalom in a tangible way in our lives, just the verses before that in Philippians, it says, in order to have God's peace, you have to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So all you have to do is pray and just tell him you need it. It's that simple.
So if you're in a situation right now, you can ask God, your Father, on Father's Day to give you peace.
Yeah.
about that situation. It could be like Grace. She's getting peace from God and strength in her situation. And in Christ Jesus, the Lord will redeem whatever it is that's happening to her dad, because he's good. Because he's big. Bigger than the stars.
Yes.
Ha.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. You know, it can seem like some of the names of God we've looked at so far can be like, oh, he's out there, he's almighty, El Shaddai. But he's also the Lord who's there, the Lord who's right here with you. Psalm 139 explains that so well. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. That's just amazing. God is with us all the time. He's with you all the time. He's everywhere. And Jesus said before he went back to the Father, it's cut off at the bottom there, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I think that really ties into, you know, Father's Day being today. When Jesus left, he sent the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he said, Holy Spirit will come, and I will not leave you as orphans. And Holy Spirit, he's the part of the Trinity, God on the earth, God with you in your everyday life, that's with you all the time and reminds you of Jesus' words and reminds you of the Father's love.
Oh, I always amaze at this, because the Holy Spirit is the power that created the whole universe and the earth. And Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Father might send my Spirit.
It's okay, yeah.
So, we won't be distracted here. God. And so, the Holy Spirit came. And I used to say, oh God, send me more of Jesus. I like the Holy Spirit, but I just want more of Jesus. And God really, really taught me about the Trinity one summer. There was a Kool-Aid ad everywhere. Yeah. I don't have my wallet. But anyways. And the Holy Spirit came and he showed me that he was everywhere. And that God wanted to be close to me, closer than my skin. And that he wanted to be part of me. And that he couldn't do that. Yeah. In a physical body. Yeah, that's my picture of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, here. Every time we show it, he likes it. So. Yeah, 1997, here it is. The original Holy Spirit.
According to
picture,
Jay.
According to me. And you can drink him in. And you can be filled with Holy Spirit. God, your Father, and he could be closer than your skin, because he wants to be with us, because he's for us and not against us, even though we've sinned.
Jehovah Mekidosh Kem, the Lord who sanctifies you. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I have sent them into the world. Jesus said that before he went to the cross. In Ephesians, it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, talking about the church. And in John 17 again, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am.
Where he is.
Set apart, sanctify.
Set apart, sanctify. There's a... Yay! Praise the Lord. I tried to do that all morning. The body needs one another.
So, the Lord is sanctifying.
Okay. So, the Lord who sanctifies you. Jesus in John 14 said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to come, and he was going to sanctify us, and he would be the teacher and the helper, and he would teach us all things that are of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means that Holy Spirit is right here, right now, and he wants to help you and teach you, and he wants to give you revelation of the Father. And what Holy Spirit taught me that summer was that if I want to see more of Jesus Christ, he's the man I need to talk to. Because he wants to lead me into the Holy of Holies, into the place where the mercy seat is. And he wants to put me behind the veil, inside the curtain, sanctify me. He was the curtain. And he wants to reveal to me in a greater way who Jesus Christ was and give me revelations and empower me to see angels and Jesus and heaven. And oh, man, me and Holy Spirit had a lot of fun that summer. Because I just started asking him stuff. Lord, show me Jesus. Show me the throne. Take me places. And you know what? He would do it. Because I was sanctified inside of him. And he was closer than my skin. And he came. And he washed me through the cleansing of his word. Do you know what that means? That means that he taught me things about the Spirit through the Bible and through revelations and through prayer. And what he did was he joined my heart with his heart as I began to partner with him. I didn't even know I was partnering with him. At first it was just like, Holy Spirit, take me on an adventure. And I get off the bus and Holy Spirit would say, talk to that guy, talk to this guy, go up to his apartment. They'd all get slain in the Spirit. And then 6 or 7 people would come to church. True story. Happened to me lots of times. Because the Lord God sanctified me inside the truth of his revelation, which is, you know, he is here among us right now. The good shepherd. And I began to be led by the Spirit, because everything the Spirit gives us comes from Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the one we missed.
Okay. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
No, we're not. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
That means the reason why I was able to enjoy a friendship and partnership, and I still enjoy, immensely enjoy, my partnership and friendship with Holy Spirit, is because Jesus came down to earth. God came down, and picture it this way. The artist makes a picture, but he's too big to fit himself inside of his picture. So what he does is he paints a picture of himself within the picture. The Holy Spirit is the paintbrush, by the way. It's the power that creates things. Okay? He paints himself inside his own picture. And he wants to teach us something. Teach us how to love. We do not receive his teaching very well. Actually, we don't hardly receive it at all, to the point where we crucify him on a cross. We crucify him. The devil crucifies him. And somehow, some way, he becomes the sin that we had done to him, paying the debt that we owed to himself through his own crucifixion, so that we might become friends with God. The Bible says that through the crucifixion, he put to death enmity with God. What does that mean? That's Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, he puts to death the enmity with God. Because he showed us that he loved us so much that he was willing to let us crucify him. And he still wanted to be our friend. And he still wanted to be our Savior. And what he does is he takes down all of our defenses, all of our judgments of God. God, you don't love me because... And God, every time I say something like that, God shows me the cross. He's like, what? Look how much I love you. I died the most horrible death known to man, the Roman crucifixion, so that I could prove to you that you can trust me, that I might lead you through the shadow of the valley of death to my house, which is heaven. Heaven, as they say. Because, you know, a good father doesn't make his kids afraid. I'm learning this. Because with my daughter, she can run all around and she's really hyper sometimes. And I can get angry and I can say, you do this or else you're going to get a spanking. My wife hates it when I do that. I've only spanked her twice in her whole life, and it was only one tap. Like, it wasn't anything. She cried. But as soon as she hears the word spanking, she's like, whew, straightens right up. Yes, Daddy. You know, she's doing whatever it is I tell her to do really fast. But then there's a better way, you know that? One day my kid's not going to be afraid of my spankings and she's just going to do whatever she wants. So instead, what I've been doing is I've been saying, Rebecca, I don't want you to do this because, and I did that before, but I've gotten to the point where I don't even do that now. I just pick her up and give her a hug. And I lead her to do something else that's better. And that's what God our Father does for us. All the time, is he literally picks us up and gives us a hug and shows us something better to be doing that's good for us. And it's interesting because the Bible says that God pleads with us, and sometimes God will chase us. And man is much like the child that fell down and skinned his knee. And some children, they run away from their father, and the father chases them, wishing to give them a hug, to give them his love. And other children, they turn, and they run toward the father, and the father embraces them and kisses them, and he puts a bandage. He heals the wound and the shame that comes with that fall. And each one of us has fallen in our sin. So if you feel that you've fallen in your sin, or you never knew Jesus as your God, Father, today's the day to turn around and give your daddy a really big hug and allow him to address your wounds.
Can we all stand? So, I just want us to pray a prayer together before we go. So just agree with me if you agree. God, we just pray for fresh revelation right now and understanding through all the scriptures that we've read and the stuff that we heard, God. I pray that if we don't know you in one of those names, if we don't know you as Jehovah Shalom, if we don't know you as Jehovah Rapha, God, I pray that this week, God, and the weeks to come, that you would reveal yourself. That you would reveal yourself, God, in a very tangible way. That we would experience you, God, in all those 12 names that we spoke about, God. You are truly everything we need. You are everything we need. Everything we always hoped for. Everything. You're everything. And it was so good, God, to study your word this morning. But God, I pray that it would penetrate our hearts. I pray that it would go deep, God, and that it would change us. And that we would know you deeper, God. You are awesome. You're so big. You're so beautiful. We love you, God. In Jesus' name.
And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now. And you're just going to give some of us a hug. Here it comes. Here's the hug of God. You're just going to come even closer, God. And for those of you out there who, I just feel some people, there's somebody out there who has father issues, who really doesn't like their father. Maybe your father was abusive, or maybe he was mean, and maybe he hurt you. I'm just going to tell you right now that God today has come to redeem that. And he's going to show you what it is to have a really good father. Here it is. Here it comes. The goodness of God. Ha. The closeness of God. The answer to every question and every problem that we have. Happy Father's Day, Midtown. Mom.
Bless you. Go enjoy the nice day.